Hope everybody's doing good.
Awesome. Yes.
Something I need to be aware of, or is it a card or something?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just like, okay. I like, oh, amen. Ah, that's right, amen. What's a great morning, guys. Definitely appreciate Donald just keeping us in the loop to pray for Kendra, and also just pray for her family, her mom and her brother, and also pray for us too during this time. But anyway, we're starting a new year. It's great, a new year. Start great with a wedding. It's very encouraging. Very encouraging wedding. Time flies by.
Yep.
I thought about their scenario, and I thought about the Cobain scenario. 6 months ago, both were complaining about, I want to be back in my home, and I can't wait to get married. And I thought, how time flies.
Mm-hmm.
How time flies. I would like to ask them, so how are we doing now 6 months later? It just kind of shot by.
Yeah.
Both of them were celebrating. We're going to be back at our home. And guess what? I get to marry the person of my dream.
Right.
So it was amazing. It was amazing. It was a great day on the lake.
Sure was.
It was cool. A lot of young folks. I seen one young lady. She was very anxious to capture that bouquet. I thought that young man better be getting ready, because she made sure she stood and she got that bouquet. I said, oh, she let him know. I said, all right, brother. You better get it together. So, amen. Yeah, very excited. All the other ladies, they seem to pull back, but she lined herself up with part naked. I noticed that. I did notice that. Amen, amen, guys. So this year, guys, we're talking about Jesus is the theme for this year. We're going to be in the book of Romans. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to start out these first couple of months about just Jesus as Lord. Just actually in the month of January only, Jesus is Lord. In the month of February, we're going to talk about the love of Jesus. And then in the month of March, we're going to talk about Jesus, our Savior. And then in April, we'll close out with Jesus, our friend. And so just kind of going through this series and just getting to know Jesus a little bit better. You know, a lot of times we think that we know Jesus real well, and until something happens in life. And then we kind of realize, okay, Lord, what's going on, you know. But he is steady, he is steadfast, he is faithful. I'm going to read some things here to you, just some thoughts about lordship. And so, you know, lordship is not a dictatorship. You know, a lot of us grew up in that type of atmosphere, that kind of culture where somebody's in a position of authority, and it can be oppressive. It can be almost like a dictatorship. It's like a authoritarian type of style. But lordship with Jesus is not like that. You know, he wants you to recognize his position, but he doesn't want it to be so oppressive that you don't like him or you don't love him.
Right.
That's not how he is.
Amen.
You know, you know, our Lord, you know, he expects us to submit to him willingly, not begrudgingly or forcefully, but willingly and respectfully. You know, if you don't have respect for the position that our Lord holds, you know, it will show in our actions and conversation. It does. And be honest, it has at times in our lives. It just does. We've had moments where we've just seen an eye to eye with the King. It's just been there. Maybe when we were young in the faith, you know, we still trying to, you know, God's still trying to hammer out some things, work out some details in our character. But we've had times where we just didn't see eye to eye with the King. But it is by his grace and by our humility, us working at our humility, that we came around and saying, okay, Jesus, maybe you do know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know. But, you know, Jesus is a wonderful Lord. You know, we must see the joy in his lordship. We need to find peace under his authority. And we need to have respect for what his position provides for our lives.
That's right.
You know, David, you know, and we'll get there. We're not there yet. But in David's Psalm 16, David talks about he finds delight only in the Lord, and confesses that everything good in his life has come from God.
Mm-hmm, right. Amen.
You know, when we do take a look here in Psalm 16, it's about a combination of joy, praise to God, humility, and a submission to the divine will. Here's a question. Can Jesus be Lord of your life?
Yes.
That's an everyday question.
Yeah.
Not just Savior of your life, but also Lord of your life. Can he have that position in your life every day? In every instance, in every situation. every decision. You know, Matthew 19, another scripture, Matthew 19, it says, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Wow. So I want to focus on the good. And we know this is from this interaction with the rich young ruler, you know, who came to Jesus and like, you know, Lord, you know, tell me what, you know, actually says, good Lord, you know, tell me what I must do. But, you know, Jesus addressing like, you know, why do you call me good when there's only one person good, and that is God the Father? Now, to us, God the Son is good, but Jesus wanted to get some clarity there. You know, all things, all good things come from God. We need to understand that. And so, knowing that, we must stop comparing other things to God as if they are good.
Wow.
That's some things that we do, we tend to do. We equate a lot of things as being good as God, but it's not. So we're going to look over in Psalms 16. This is a great Psalms. Been reading Psalms for a while. Got here in Psalm 16. And I noticed the difference. If you've read Psalms, you know, Psalms is a lot of time about David just kind of like, Lord, I'm suffering. Lord, why me? Where are you at? Why are you not hearing my prayers? God, do you hear me? Do you see what's going on? People are after me. You hear David truly just pouring his heart out and wailing. And it's amazing. He's crying a lot of time because of, it's actually the sin that he got into. But yeah. He's like, but he's crying as if like, but I'm the victim here. But we do that sometimes. But I'm the victim. You don't understand, I'm the victim here. But this particular psalm, so when I got it, I was like, wait a minute, there's a transition, there's a change. But so some of the theologies, scholars or theologians, they say that they believe that this one might have been written when David had not gone through these things yet. And this was a time when David was really like, praising the Lord. He was excited to be in the Lord. And so I just had to get clear to like, how did he change from one instance to another? But in Psalm 16, we're going to focus on the thing in Psalm 16, verse 1 and 2. It says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have nothing good. Ain't that something?
That's right.
Or I have no good thing. Ain't that something? You know, lordship with Jesus revolves around having a good relationship.
That's right.
A good relationship. You know, the Lord is our highest, or should be our highest, good and greatest treasure.
Yes.
You know, the giver of every good and perfect gift is our Lord. To know him through Jesus Christ is the highest privilege in life. You know, if we have anything that we think is good and it doesn't come from God, it isn't good.
That's right.
When Jesus Christ is our Savior, or as it says, our refuge, and Lord, you and I experience God's goodness even in the midst of trials.
Right.
Our relationships to ourselves, our circumstances, other people, and the future depends on our relationship to our Lord. The question for us every day is, can Jesus be Lord of our life?
Come on.
You know, to have a good relationship with the Lord, we have to be willing to submit to his divine will at all times.
Right. That's right.
And we all have moments. We wrestle with thoughts, we wrestle with feelings, we wrestle with why this and why that, why it happened this way. We wrestle. But I think that's a blessing that God allows us to wrestle with him on those issues. I think it's a blessing that God allows us to experience what Abraham experienced with him when Abraham wrestled with him. Lord, if I can only find 10 people, will you not destroy the city? I think it's great that we have a Lord that loves us so much that the type of relationship he wants to have with us is a relationship where we can communicate back and forth with him, where he's willing to hear what we have to say.
Yes.
Can Jesus be Lord of our life? You know, David's pretty excited here about this relationship. David acknowledges that God is a refuge, a place of shelter, a place of protection. But he also acknowledges that Jesus is Lord here. He's the one driving the vehicle. You know, when I studied this, I thought about been in a car. Mm-hmm. We've all experienced this. It would be hard to drive if the person sitting in the right side of the seat always wanted to put their hands on the steering wheel, mm-hmm. trying to tell you how to drive. I don't know if that's worse than the person sitting beside you trying to tell you how to drive. We call it a backseat driver. Where you get to the point, you're like, you know what, I'm done driving. I'm gonna get out, you drive. And what did they tell you? I don't want to drive. Well, then can you just let me drive? You know, Jesus is like that with us. He's like, can I drive? I hear you, but can I drive this? Can I steer where life is supposed to go? Can I do this? And some of us, we're like, yeah. Some of us like, oh, okay, Lord. But Lord, you know, but Lord, we have, oh, Lord, oh. Yeah. Yep. And sometimes God's like, I'm going to pour the car over. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to stop this point in your life for a little bit. We're going to stay here for a little while till we get through this, till you can accept that I need to be the only driver here.
Yes.
That's those times when we're like, David, why are you not doing anything, God? Why is the life not moving forward? God said, because you keep trying to be a backseat driver. Can I be Lord or do you want to be Lord? Mm-hmm. None at all. But we still want to be a co-pilot.
That's right.
Your relationships with God begins by acknowledging that he is Lord of our life. But it also begins with it showing in our life. You know, in verse 3 and 16, we're going to go from good relationships. We have 3 and 16. I mean, 3 and 4. It says, I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their name on my lips.
Amen. Amen.
Love David's conviction. There's only one God. Let's talk about good companionship. Lord and good companionship. You know, we don't live the Christian life alone because we're a part of a great spiritual family and we need each other. Companionship.
Yep.
As in previous Psalms, two groups are depicted here. You think about it. The believing remnant and the unbelieving worshipers of idols, as we see.
Yep.
And that's today.
That's today.
You have believers and you have non-believers.
Right.
There are two groups depicted on this planet Earth. People believe in other things and trust in other things, but we trust in the Father and we trust in His Son. You know, we need to take seriously God's command. One of the things God always talks about is be holy for I am holy. In order to do that, you have to be pure. You got to be separated from those others and for those other negative influences. You know, Israel was a kingdom of priests, believe it or not, and a holy nation, just as the church is today. We are a kingdom of priests today.
Yeah.
You may not have that. You don't have to have the title. But you're called to go out and preach the word of God.
That's right.
You know, despite our faults and failures, believers are God's elite. Mm-hmm. His nobility on earth, that's who we are. We must all love one another and use our God-given abilities and resources to minister to the world, but also and especially to the family of God.
That's right.
No church is perfect. Let's just get that straight. No church is perfect because no believer is perfect.
Yeah.
And we, the believers, we make up the church. But let's still give thanks for the people of God, which is us, and seek to encourage one another in every moment and in every instance that we can. Because I don't know about you, but I always need encouragement.
Yeah.
I need encouragement. No matter how I may smile all the time, no matter if it is a great day, I would not turn away encouragement.
No, sir.
And when it is a bad day, you better be at the top of your game when it comes to encouraging me. We all need encouragement. You know, when I was at Parker's wedding, it was amazing. His mom and dad were so encouraging to me. And they would just happen to be sharing about Parker gave them a copy of my book, and his dad just was just so amazing. But his mom was funny. And his mom said, you know, Parker bought this book home, And he gave it to me and his dad, but his dad has not put it down. But his dad has a way of coming up to me saying, see, this is what you need to see. This is what you need to see. And I'm just laughing. But as his wife said, but he is enjoying the book. But that's encouraging that a product that you put out there in the name of the Lord, somebody found some good in it.
Amen.
Somebody found some good in it. I thought that was just really encouraging and never knew, you know. So encouragement is important in our companionship together as we walk together.
Yeah, that's right.
Just don't walk with me to say, hey, we hanging out. But walk with me to lift me up, to encourage me, to build me up, to remind me that, you know what, you're somebody important in God's kingdom. It's needed. We encourage a lot of people who are looking for hope, but do we spend a lot of time trying to encourage one another who are actually in hope, who are actually in God? We need to do that. Will you be a good companion on this journey to me? Will you be a good companion on this journey with one another? I want to encourage you. Do you want to encourage me?
Yes.
Psalm 16, 5, 6. David goes a little further. He says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure.
Amen.
He says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. Wow, this is nothing but praise here. Let's talk about a good stewardship. It says, after Israel conquered the promised land, each tribe, except the Levites, was assigned a special inheritance because they served in the sanctuary and ate of the holy sacrifices. The priests and the Levites had the Lord as their special inheritance. David saw himself in that privileged position. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You know, to possess great wealth, but not have the Lord is poverty.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Now I want to clear this. God is not against you becoming rich on this earth monetarily, but God wants you to know to possess it without him, you are poor.
That's right.
You are, your hope is in something that was created and not in the Creator. You know, to enjoy the gifts but ignore the giver can be say is wicked. You have to appreciate this. The giver thought enough about you to want to give you something.
Amen.
You have to acknowledge both. You know, if Jesus is Lord of our lives, we need to make every effort to be good stewards. And it's just not only about money, but it's about life in general. Our health, our mental state, our emotional state, our physical state. I was joking with Parker's parents. I said, when I grew up, and my mom reminds me, you know, your parents will remind you of things, because he was telling me something about Parker and Parker's brother and sister. And I said, you know, when I grew up, my dad was like, you need to cut the grass. I hated to cut the grass.
Yeah.
I told my dad when I grew up, I'm going to have a yard of concrete. Every once in a while, my mom tends to remind me of that. How's that concrete yard coming along? Yeah, you know, it's just yeah, there you go. Power wash, you right, power wash it down, you know. But, you know, we need to be good stewards, even if I did have a concrete yard. Like Donna said, you got to get a power spray. The Lord said, you're not going to. God wants us to realize that it is a true gift and a blessing to possess anything that we have.
That's right.
It is a blessing to the clothes that we purchase. And then God said, you need some iron to get the wrinkles out. You need to steam them out. To the water that we drink, to the food that we consume. God put men and women in position to say, this is how you properly prepare the things that you're going to consume in your body.
Yeah.
We've got to be a good steward of everything. You know, the Lord is the good steward of our relationship with us. And he sets the example of taking care of us. You know, God wants us to be trusted managers and caretakers. You know, David wanted to be a good steward of all that the Lord had given him.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? You know, there's plenty of scripture in the Bible talking about being lazy. God does address that, because God said, yeah, I know you. You can get lazy sometimes. It's okay to take a respite. It's okay to take, you know, relax. He said, but sometimes you get carried away. You go too far and you want to indulge in the zone of being lazy. Mm-hmm. But what about you? Do you want to be a good steward of the things that God has entrusted you with? Do you know right now at this very point in your life, everything that you have is because of God, and God has allowed you to be in this position?
Yeah.
If you want it more,
praise God,
you can go get it. That's up to you. But if you're content where you're at, God said be a good steward of it.
Amen.
Do you want to be a good steward of what God has given to you? Finally, guys, we're on verse 7 and 8. It says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Amen.
That's amazing. You feel like David went to night school. I tell you, he said, at night his heart is instructing me. I feel like at night my heart's trying to tell me, can we go to sleep?
Yeah.
That's it. You know, it's great to see how David, in his personal fellowship with the Lord, found joy in it. That was his greatest joy, fellowship with the Lord. You know, is your fellowship with the Lord your greatest joy? There's a lot of things that brings us joy in this life.
Yeah.
But is your fellowship with God, is that your greatest joy?
Come on.
Really? Is that your greatest joy? You know, can God instruct you and counsel you and tell you what to do and how to do it?
Please.
And you know, a lot of us, we can be instructed in a lot of things, but a lot of us, for some time in our life, we have fought against being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone's like, I just go along. And that's not good in a sense, because every once in a while you need to speak up and say something. And some of us, we got a rebuttal for everything that comes up. And the Lord said, this is that scripture you need to hold on to right now. Be still and know that I am the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, can God instruct you and counsel you? Or are you willing to spend many nights with the Lord? You know, David spent a lot of nights listening and learning from God. Ask yourself, what do you spend your nights doing? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of nights. You know, when the year ended, I seen something. I was like, wow, that's unique. You know, it said the year ended with 1-2-3, 1-2-3. I was like, 12-31. I was like, that's unique. Just looking at it, 12-31, and then it went 2-3. I was like, wow, unique. I thought 365 days to a T. How many nights did I spend with the Lord? We know we spend mornings in quiet times. We know we spend lunch times. Sometimes when we're going through something, we're like, I need to take a pause. I need to pray and talk to the Lord. But how many nights? We've all got favorite TV shows that we like to watch. I've become a documentary junkie. I like, God, I know more of this stuff going on in the world than a lot. But it's like, how often do I say, let me turn the TV off at 9 o'clock. Let me just go sit on my back porch. Sit on my front porch. Let me just sit in my house. Let me just spend some time with the Lord. Let me just imitate David. Let me go to night school with the Lord.
Amen.
And learn some things. The Lord always desires to hear from us. He always listening. He just wants us to spend time with him and talk to him. You know, the Lord at his right hand suggested that God as his advocate and defender. With the Lord as your guide and guard, you have nothing to fear.
That's right.
You cannot be moved. The future is your friend when Jesus is your Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Is Jesus Christ your Lord of your life today, tomorrow, and forever? Allow Jesus to be your Lord so that you can have good relationships with him in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Allow Jesus to be Lord of your life so that you can enjoy good companionship with the Lord in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Allow Jesus to be Lord of your life so that you can learn what it means to be a good steward of the things he has entrusted you to.
Mm-hmm.
And allow Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life so that you can have good fellowship with the Lord, not only in the morning, not only at lunchtime, but like David, and many nights in your life. Amen. To God be the glory, guys. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, Sydney. Thank you.